So I appreciate y'all sign up. All you have to do is go in the lobby when you leave here. There's a table out in the lobby. Say, I want to sign up for Pebbles to volunteer for the children's. Okay? Amen. Amen. You guys ready? Okay. If you're a visitor and you're not ready, we pray that you will be ready here in a few minutes. So let's see your Bibles this morning. One more time, say that loud. Say, word. Let's see your pens. And lesson plan. Very good. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. If you're going to flip through, you don't know where it is, start in the back of the Bible. You'll get there quicker. It's about, I don't know, 10 books in from the back or so. I don't know. Ephesians chapter 5. Y'all ready for the game today? Some of y'all don't really care. It's all right. It's just football. It's only the second most important thing in the world. Hey, by the way, did the Eagles win? Okay. They did? No, they're winning. Oh, okay. Let us bow. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for today. Thank you that you allowed us to be alive today. We pray we make good use of this time. In Jesus' name, amen. In a couple weeks, sometime soon, a new series of American Idol starts. How many of y'all are American Idol fans? How many of y'all could care less? Okay, it's all right. It's quite fine. The first few years I didn't watch, but I found it a very extremely entertaining program. But that doesn't mean anything that I like it, but I kind of watch it and love to see the entertainment, the talent, et cetera, the judging, and I love to get mad at the people. I love to hate some of the people on there, like Sanjay, remember him? Hate that dude, man. I didn't really hate him, but I hated that he was on it, and there was some other people there was a young lady who got voted off, and I thought she was excellent, and I happened to see her at an event in L.A., and I couldn't remember who she was. I was like, I know I was like a dumb fan. I went up to say, I know you. And she's sitting there looking at me. And I know you. And then I figured out, but she got voted off. I think her name was Sabrina or something. She got voted off way too early. But anyway, they people go up there and sing. A lot of them cannot sing at all. They just go up there to be on TV and be a character. And the goal of the show is twofold. The goal of the show is onefold, make money. They make money off drawing you in by all these characters they want you to see, and then they make money by having a winner that goes on and make millions, and they make millions off that. And they do a great job of it. Simon Paul Randy's job is to determine and assess star potential. Who on this show and all these singers has the biggest potential of bringing in the most money for themselves? And for the show and everything, but who has the best talent? And if we invest in them, they can become the star. Carrie Underwood, I remember when Simon said she was going to be the biggest one of them all, I think that's true. But she's huge, she's ginormous, and Pickler, remember the Pickler girl from Alabama? That girl had never been outside the sticks, and now she's like big time on. And so what they do is they say, does this person have what it takes where in the future they could be something big? The definition of potential. One of the definitions that we're going to use is future capacity. If it's in your notes, future capacity. Everyone say future capacity. And when you think of your future capacity as a person, our future capacity as a church, you can determine it by thinking, well, if I study every day, what will I be in a year? Or if I pray every day for 15 minutes or an hour, what will happen in a year? So you try to assess your future capacity of yourself, your career, your money, your income, your education, whatever, your relationship. And we always do that based on kind of what we see other people do in the world. But we're going to assess over the next 4 weeks our future capacity, our potential as a church based on heaven's perspective, or what potential God says based on his perspective from heaven. We're going to look at time today. We're going to look at what do we know about time from heaven's perspective, and how does that impact our lives today? You may think 1 second is a second. Well, that's true in your life. In doggy years, that's true. But in heaven years, what does that really mean? Now, when every single one of us in here die, we are going to stand before Christ for one of two judgments. You're either going to be judged to go to hell, or you're going to be judged as a Christian If you are a Christian, you will be judged as well for how faithful you were with what God gave you. It's called the Bema Seat. When Christ was judged by Pontius Pilate stood on this little step, you know, foot high or so, and that was from where he judged people. It's called the Bema Seat. Christ has his own Bema Seat. And when a Christian dies, you're going to stand before Christ, and he's going to say to you, I gave you all these resources, time, talent, and treasure, which is kind of a groupings that we put on it, time, treasure, and talent, all these opportunities, all this money, all this skill I gave you, intelligence, personality, sense of humor, etc., artistic, whatever it is you have. And by the way, you're not supposed to have all of it, so don't get hung up if you don't have something. Just know what you got, and don't hate on someone because they don't got what you got. Just appreciate what you have. And God's going to say, I gave you this. What did you do with it? Every single one of you are going to be accountable. And I'm going to tell you, you are going to cry at the Bema Seat in heaven. You're going to cry because you are going to be ashamed of what you did in waste. Okay? So what we're going to look at over the next 3 weeks is, what is God's potential based on heaven? And that will heighten our expectation on ourselves and our life. And then in 4 Sundays from now, we're going to look at how we're going to put all that together as a church and say, here's what we're going to do in San Diego. 600,000 volunteer hours this year in San Diego, and that's only the beginning. What's going to happen to that is going to ripple forever into eternity. But we're going to measure 600,000 hours. We're going to, and why? Because it's going to take 6,000 people to do about 2 hours a week, give or take, in San Diego. If we really pay attention and say, Lord, you gave us this, and the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required, the more God gives you, the more he's going to require of you. You should never worry about comparing yourself to somebody else other than to be motivated, but never to put them down. In other words, if you see someone doing more than you, say, man, now I see what I can do, but never think that God's ever going to say, this person did this and you should have done this. It doesn't work that way. It's all based on what God has assigned for you as an individual. So it doesn't matter what anybody else does. Okay, I was talking to a pastor about a year ago. I was mentoring this young guy, and he had, you know, I don't know, 200 people in his church or whatever. And he told me he wanted to get to 300 because when he got to 300, he could put it on autopilot like me. I said, brother, what? Stop. Autopilot? You think I'm on autopilot? You think more people, it makes it easier? Are you out of your mind? It's the opposite. To whom much is given, much is required. If God gives you 300 people, he's going to require more of you. So do you think you got a lot of work now? Wait till you get 300 people, if you ever get to 300 people. And so the more God gives you, the more you're required. Some of you in here are incredibly intelligent. And you may be sitting there going, I'm smarter than him, me. That's fine, you probably are. And? Some of you may think, I can preach better, or I'm prettier than that girl, or I got whatever. Okay, what's your point? Your point, if that's true, which it very well may be, then God is going to require more of you. So that's how you got to look at it, okay? Now, let's define time. Time is the progression of your existence. Your existence started before you were born, by the way. God knew you in the heavens before your mother knew your father. And the Bible says he assigned to you spiritual blessings in the heavenly places long before the earth was formed. And even before that, he assigned to you a ministry assignment. He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5, I knew you before you were born, and I assigned you to be a prophet to the nations. In other words, before you were born, Jeremiah, I knew who you were, and you were going to be a prophet to all the nations before you were born. It's not something you created. It's something I created. You just happened to walk in it. So the progression of your life has already been started. God has already signed stuff for you, and now he's seeing if you are going to discover them by trusting him and walk in them. So time is a progression of your life. Now, in the Greek language, Hebrew language, there's different words for time, different kinds of time. We're going to talk about two. One is chronos time. These are also in your notes. Chronos, where we get the word chronologically, is duration of time. Okay? In John chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus says that he knew that this guy who had been crippled 38 years had been in that condition a long time, a long chronos. It's a duration of time. Your life from birth to end, that's your chronos time. That's how much time you live. Then it's called kairos. Kairos time are specific moments of significance in your life. When you met your girlfriend, or girls, when you met your boyfriend, and maybe more significant, when you broke up with that boyfriend, when you had a baby, or when you got pregnant, when you got a job, when you got in a car accident. These are moments in time that change your life. They had significance for some reason. They had significance. So you have chronos time, which is duration, and kairos. Everyone say chronos. Say chronos. it's spelled C-H-R-O-N-O-S, but it's really, the O's are, Omicron in Greek is or, like offer, and kairos. Now, we're going to show you a little video, because I want you to visualize this, because every time you drive, you should think about this. I want you to imagine driving through Manhattan, which is this, and the time that you are in your car and going is your chronos. From the minute you get in your car to the minute you get out, that whole trip is chronos. But every time the car stops at a traffic light, that's kairos. So you're driving and you're driving, that's your life. From birth to death, you're driving, you're going through your life, and that whole trip of your life is chronos. But every time you stop, that's a kairos moment. When in the Queen Esther, she was going to save the Jews by telling the king that she was a Jew. The king was going to kill the Jews. He didn't know she was a Jew. And they said, who knows that maybe you were put in the kingdom for such a kairos moment, time as this, right now. Okay. Now, here's the amazing thing. You got chronos. Everyone say chronos. Say duration. Say chronos. Say it loud. Say duration. Say kairos. Say moment in time. One more illustration. When you drive out of here and you go down Rosecrans, I don't go down Rosecrans, I go this way because there's too many lights, and I go around Nimitz. Don't go that way because you're going to make traffic for me, so go this way. But when you drive down Rosecrans, between here and the 5 or here and the 8, that's your chronos, the whole trip. But every time you stop at a light, every time you stop at traffic, those are kairos moments. In heaven, everyone say in heaven. Yeah. This is the great thing. Chronos and kairos is the same. God sees it all now. So even though you may have a life where you're like, oh, I get up, I go to work, I get dressed, when's lunch? Then I go home, kick the dog, eat my dinner, get all bloated, sit in my chair, watch the game, and then go to bed. That may be your chronos day, but then you have these times where they're exciting. Like your wife says, hi, honey, that's the best part of your day. Could be. Then you have a birthday, or you have Christmas, or you have Easter, and you have a baby or whatever, but most of your life is just, but then you have these days, you know, the Charger game. Oh, the Charger is the most exciting thing in some people's lives. That's really sad. It's really sad. God says, all your exciting times in your whole life is all exciting to me. It's all the same. And it happens at the same time because God sees it all. So what we want to learn is, how do we redeem the time and make our chronos and our kairos the same? And how do we take advantage of that principle? If it's that way in heaven, how do we apply it to our life here on earth? Let's read Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We have to reclaim the power of our time. You will be given 365 days a year, 12 months, 52 weeks. You've been given 8,760 hours a year, 525,600 minutes, and 31,536,000 seconds a year. We got to take that and reclaim it for the power that it is in heaven. Not how we see it, how it is in heaven, how we can get the most out of that time as God sees you getting the most out of that time, realizing that the chronos of your life and the kairos of your life is the same thing to God. So number one in your notes. Number one is, because in heaven, chronos and kairos times are established, we can plan accurately. If you're in Ephesians, turn like three books before to 1 Corinthians. If in heaven, kairos and chronos are the same and they are established, in other words, God knows tomorrow for you. He knows next year. He knows when your special days are coming. That's a fact. Matter of fact, let me read something to you real quick. You don't have to turn it. You can write it down if you want. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. John is in heaven, and he's seeing this vision in heaven. It says, after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Can you imagine standing at a door, and the door opens, and there's heaven? Just say no. Just say no. Say no real loud. Thank you. You couldn't. He the door opened. He was like, heaven. He said, I'm going to show you something, John. And look what he says. And the voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking. What does that sound like? And it says, come here and I will show you things that must take place. John, I'm going to show you now, 2,000 years ago, what's going to happen in the end. It is as good as done. So something happening years from then, to John at the time, was present. It's happening. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. To God, it's already happening. When I say it's already happening, it's a done deal. It's going to happen. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:8 that to God, 1,000 years is one day and one day is 1,000 years. What does that mean? It's all the same. He sees it all now. He comes into our world and operates in chronos time. You know, we got to go day to day. But he already knows what's going to happen. So if that's true, we should be able to plan accurately, because if we can get a glimpse of our future, if God knows the future and God could give us some kind of hint on what to do based on what he knows, we can plan better. So instead of you saying, well, I think I'll go to UCSD and I think I'll marry this girl, you could say, hold the press. God, what do you say? Because you know if this girl's a she devil, or girls, if he's a he devil, a he dummy, I should say. Every she devil, there's a he dummy. You know, should I go to this school or should I take this major? Instead of you wasting your time guessing. Because somebody knows the future, and it's God. Look what it says in chapter 2, verse 9. In about a month, we're going to do a series on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to come back to this passage right here. But it says, as it is written, eye has not seen, ears not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Your mind, your ears, your eyes have never seen what God has prepared for you. How many of you could honestly say, man, God has blessed me with stuff I never thought he would bless me with? Anybody? Very good, very good. That's nothing compared to what he's going to give you. I have a theory, have an opinion. My opinion means? There just seems to be a little bit too much enthusiasm when I ask that question. People are like, yeah, he's excited to say that. I appreciate it. I have a theory that when we go to heaven, our senses will work better, that we'll be able to see stuff we can't see now. Like, sound is a vibration in the air. Y'all know that. It's a fact. When I do that, it vibrates the air and you hear it. It hits your tympanic membrane, which is your eardrum, looks like cellophane, and it shakes. And then up against your tympanic membrane are bones. And those bones shake, and inside them are fluid. And the fluid shakes, and it shakes little hairs, and you hear all instantly, all at the same time. You can hear all that and distinguish those sounds. That's how incredible our ear is. And to think that it evolved and no one designed it, it's crazy. It's crazy. Another story. I think when we get to heaven, we may be able to see the sound through the air. You may be able to smell color. Ooh. You have proprioception. You could sense stuff. In other words, most people, you know, you don't have to look at the ground to walk because your feet just know where the ground is. Okay, I was playing a flag football game yesterday and I learned how much my proprioception and my coordination has been diminished. I was catching a ball, but I wasn't catching it completely right. It was like one hand was off, and it was frustrating. And during the game, I made this interception. I jumped up about 30 feet in the air over these little kids. And these teenagers, they couldn't get up that high. So I just, bam, got it. But what happened was when I came down, I lost perception of where the ground was. You know, I was just taking too long to hit the ground. I was up, you know, and I was waiting. I kept coming down. It wasn't happening. And then I didn't want to look down because I was trying to look where I was going to run. But this really happened. And I went up in the air, I probably jumped about 2 inches, but when I came down, I lost sense of where the ground was, and my leg hit the ground before I was ready, and I sprained my knee. But it's because my proprioception is off. When we get to heaven, I think we're gonna see, hear, and smell stuff we've never experienced. God has plans for you in this earth that you would never imagine. Years before I ever decided to start a church, years, God told me that I was going to have a church on this property of Naval Training Center. It was the government's property. It's like someone telling you, you're going to have a business where Lindbergh Field is. Actually, it wouldn't be fair because you know they may close it down, so that's not even fair. You know, but someplace you didn't know was going to close down. I didn't know that the base was going to close down. And I was like, God, why do you keep telling me NTC, it's a base? He said, don't worry about it. He didn't tell me why. He just said, don't worry about it. Look what it says here. Eyes not seen, ears not heard. Remember, we just read that. Look at verse 10. This is freaky. That may not be the word, but it's still. God, but, everyone say but. God has revealed them to us through his spirit. Say his spirit. In about 4 weeks, we're going to do a series called The Invisible Man. It's called the Holy Spirit. He's a person. The Invisible Man. He's with you every day, and he knows stuff. It says God has revealed the things that God has prepared for you you've never seen before. God will reveal them to through his spirit, for the spirit searches all things, just the deep things of God. If you ever want to hear the deep things of God, the deepest thing about God you need to know is what he has planned for you. How much he loves you. What kind of potential he's given you. That is the stuff you need to know. Look at verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit which is in the man? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. The spirit of God knows the things of God, knows what he's thinking, everything, what he's planned. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Why? That we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So God says, I know your chronos. I already know it. I know when you're going to die. I know how you're going to die. I know everything's going to happen to you. And I know these kairos moments. I already know them. I know everything about them. And the Spirit is saying, I know them too. And you're going, I don't know anything. Let me go over here. I don't know anything. And you're wasting your time trying to figure it out over here. And the Spirit and God are going, it's over here. Imagine if you could say, God, speak to me. Should I go to San Diego State or UCSD? He goes, go to San Diego State, not because it's a better school, but because it's in San Diego State that you're going to meet your wife who's going to straighten out your life. Should I go to drive down this way to school? God, you may be leave here today, and God may say, I don't want you driving down that street. And you may just go, I just feel I should drive a different way. Just obey. Whatever God tells you to obey. Why? Because he understands your kairos moments. He understands your chronos. He understands the future. And it's all now to him. He sees it all. And if you want to plan your life, instead of trying to guess, pray to God about everything. Pray to God and ask him to give you guidance, because he will, and you will not waste your life doing stuff you should not do. Some of you have talents that you don't know what those talents are. So if you're not operating your talent, you need to stop your life and figure out what they are, because if you're not operating your talents, you're wasting your time. And if you don't have a talent and you don't have a strength, and believe me, if you're not called to have that strength, don't waste your time trying to perfect it. I cannot sing, and I would be wasting my time trying to be a singer. It'd be a waste. Now, do I think I can sing? When nobody's around, I'm in my car, I am Luther Vandross. But in reality, that's not true. So I shouldn't waste my time. I shouldn't waste my time trying to do stuff God's not called me to do. I should invest my time in what God's called me to do, because that's where my kairos moments await me. Let other people do what you can't do, because that's their strength. And don't compare yourself to other people. God is never going to say to you, because this person did this and you didn't do this, that's bad for you. Here you are today. In a week from now, you're going to be here. In a year from now, you're going to be here. Your chronos is going to go duration of your, progression of your existence. God sees all of these versions of you, how you can progress. All you need to do is press on that you may become who God has apprehended you to be. I need to become the preacher God called me to be. I need to be the leader God has called me to be. I need to be a dad and a husband and a son and a brother that God has called me to be, not with someone else. Now, I can learn from other people, but I got to be Miles' version of it. You got to be your version of it, because God made you different. He made you to stand out, so stop trying to fit in. Be who God called you to be. Spend your time doing that. Number two in your notes, because in heaven, chronos and kairos or time are combined, our time can be accelerated. Our time can be accelerated. Because God, in God's mind, they're the same, he can accelerate your life. In other words, you can make up for lost time. When I was a young kid, I was not a student. I was a very irresponsible student. And I am very ashamed of that, and it bothers me. God can say, I can make that up. Some of y'all have wasted time grown up drugs, what have you. You have relationships that are broken, people you know, and those relationships are lost. You lost years because a friend or family member, you had a fight, and you just don't talk. God can restore that. Write down Joel, J-O-E-L, Joel 2:25. It says, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. Even though you have not been faithful and a good steward of your time and wasted it, God could say, I can make that up because I have these Kairos opportunities waiting for you. And if you would just obey me, I will get you back on track and we can speed up and get back caught up to on track. You may not do everything that you could have done if you did everything perfectly, but you will speed way up. I became a pastor at 40 years old. A lot of my friends became pastors when they were 20-something. So it would appear that I started late and wasted a lot of time, and sometimes I think about that. Well, God says, I'm going to speed it up. I'm going to speed the whole process up. Once you start, we're going to go boom, 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 boom. And is he catching up to something? No, I just think he had me wait long so he could do it fast and people could see what God can do. I assume that's what he did. But it doesn't matter. I'm right where God wants me to today. And as long as I'm obedient, I'm right where God wants me today. As long as I'm obedient. As long as you're obedient, you're going to be right where God wants you today. If you were disobedient, gone is past. The old is gone, the new has come. God can erase it. Now, God, I want to be obedient today. And God will supernaturally make things right for you. And you will also say, I can even learn from my bad mistakes. You got me right where you want me. He just somehow can make things right. Number three in your notes. Because in heaven, Chronos and Kairos are now in the eyes of God. Chronos time can be converted to Kairos time. I love this one. You're born, and you, let's say your typical day, you get up, you eat breakfast, and you just have a mundane life. You know, just, oh, the same old, same old. You know what God says? Your mundane life, all your years and how you spend your day, it all can be converted to a Kairos moment. When God looks at your life 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, he looks at it all as now. He sees it all now. And he says, I look at it as all precious. Imagine if you can look at every second as being precious. I love watching my wife go to sleep. I can watch her go to sleep because she goes to sleep within a minute. How many of y'all go to sleep in it real quick like that? I hate y'all. Hate those kind of people. How many of y'all don't? Very good. It's like, covers everywhere. You just tossing and turning for hours. So my wife, I think she loves the pillow more than me because she just be like all cuddled up with that brother. And I will literally sit there with the light on and just look at her, and she will go to sleep right in front of me within 30 to 60 seconds. And so she'll lay down on the pillow, get all perfect, comfortable, all covers right up to her chin, and she'll go, watch the master work. She got a little smirk on her face, and then a smirk will slowly kind of go away, and then her mouth will relax, her cheeks will just drop, and then about 30 seconds, she may twitch a few times, you know. What I will do is I will wake her up. I don't do this a lot, you know, just a few times. And I'll wake her up and she'll go, Mama, stop, stop, stop. And she goes right back to sleep. I love going to sleep. It's a Kairos moment. I love dreaming. It's a Kairos moment. Getting up in the morning, not so much Kairos moment. Exercising so my body asks for breakfast, Kairos moment. Eating my breakfast is a Kairos moment. Taking a shower after you work out is a Kairos moment. Going to the bathroom in the morning is a Kairos moment. Can I get an amen? You should enjoy it. Anybody enjoy it? It's the bomb. It's the bomb. And you know you're healthy when it happens right around the same time. For reals. Your body's on a system. It's on a pattern. It's very good. It's very healthy. Driving to work. I love driving. Why? because I love progress. And when I'm driving, doesn't matter where I'm going, it's progress because I'm going somewhere and I'm moving. Matter of fact, those little white lines on the road, every time I pass one of them, it's progress. So as I'm driving and they're going by, I'm like, yeah, I just passed another one. Yeah, I passed another one. And then if I'm driving faster, going, I'm making a lot of progress. I love that. I hate traffic. I hate traffic lights. I hate driving behind Miss Daisy. I got to move. I got to go. I love walking into this lobby of this building. I love walking through the yard and hear little kids, hey, Pastor Miles, little first graders, and run up and give me a hug on my leg. I love going up the elevator, going to my office. I love opening my computer and turning it on. I love everything I do during the day, the good and the bad. Having a problem, coming, trying to fix it. I love recruiting people for ministry. Love getting people saved. Love going home. Love hugging my wife, kissing my wife. Love eating my dinner. Love sitting home, doing more work at night. Talking to my kids. Turn on ESPN. Turn on CNN. ADD, DDD, all that stuff. And then I love going to bed. What is my point? Is that all of it should be kairos. All of it's given by God. It's special. God, what do you want me to do with this person? What do you want me to do with this moment? What do you want me to do with this opportunity? All of it can be converted to something special instead of leaving here and going, yeah, I got to go to work tomorrow, and I'll go watch the game, and wasting a whole day, a whole week, a whole year, a whole decade wasted. Every moment is, God, what do you want for right now? That's how you need to live, because in God's mind, that's how he sees it. It's all special. None of it's wasted. When you leave here today, what are you going to do? Some of you are going to get on the phone and talk to somebody about nothing. Nothing. How many of y'all have people you talk to? Let me say this. How many of you talk on the phone and you realize after you hang it up, you just accomplished absolutely nothing? Nothing. You wasted your time. It was not a kairos moment. And sometimes a kairos moment is, how you doing? You know what? Can I call you back? People ask to have appointments with me all the time, right? And even on staff. And I go, before we have the appointment, I want you to tell my secretary what it's about, what decision you want me to make, and is there anything I need to know before we meet? Why? Because I could spend an hour learning all of that and say, you didn't even need to talk to me. And I just wasted an hour for them and for me. Let's make it useful. Let's make it efficient. Let's get the most out of it. And then we can spend more time just joking. But let's not waste time, because it's the same to God. Kairos and chronos. You can take every second of your day. Matter of fact, I think I read that to you. You have all those seconds every day. You can take every second of the day. If you're faithful in the little things, God will entrust you with big things. If you're faithful with seconds, he'll give you minutes. If you're faithful with minutes, he'll give you hours. He'll give you days and years. My plan is to live to 120 years. I don't know if that's in God's plan for me, but I plan to live until 120 years old. So right now, I'm going to be 50 in a year and a couple months. I am preparing now for 50. From 50 to 70, I'm going to do all this, and then after 70, it's going to take it to another level, and then when I get to 100, then it's going to be a whole different deal. And tonight, I will write down all the stuff that I can think of before I go to bed tonight, all throughout the day. Here's all the stuff I got to do this week coming up, so I don't have to waste time figuring it out as the week goes by. So I can go boom, 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 boom. Every moment can be made into a kairos. Number four in your notes. Because in heaven, chronos and kairos are protected, we can be confident that we can finish everything God established for you to do. This is so exciting. This is so exciting right now. Because God has, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says you are created in Christ Jesus. You are his workmanship. You were designed in Christ Jesus that God to do works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. In other words, if God prepared for me to start a church or plant a church and move it to NTC, that means that God has planned no one else to do that in this location. And if I do what I'm going to do, no one can stop that. God is not going to have us compete against each other to do stuff that he gave us to do. Every single one of you, he has a whole bunch of kairos moments just for you with your name on it. Nobody else's. That's good. Look at the person next to you and say, that's really good news. So in other words, you don't have to say, I gotta get there first. You just gotta be obedient. Because if God wants you to have it and you're obedient, you can have a flat tire and not make the meeting and because you really had a flat tire and five other people apply for the job. And if God wanted you to have a job and you were obedient, you will get the job. You will get the job. If God wants you to date somebody, ladies, there's some guy, he's all honked out, you know, six-pack, all that kind of stuff, and you think he's all cute and he's golly, blah, 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 and you want him, and you're interested in him, and you can't make the date, and he's talking to all these other girls, as long as you're obedient, God will make all those other girls look like a gorilla. You don't got to worry about it. And even though your knuckles drag on the ground and you got hair on your back, he'll love you so much. For reals, because if that's the guy and you're obedient, man can't take it from you. Think about it. Jesus dying on the cross, dying for our sin. Judas filled with the devil. He did exactly what the devil wanted him to do. He betrayed Jesus and he couldn't stop Jesus. Judas can't stop you. I've had many Judases in my life, sabotaging everything I'm doing. They can't stop it. As long as I'm obedient. As long as I'm obedient. And so your kairos moments are protected. God has given to you. Now you have to be obedient. If you're not obedient, you won't get them. You won't get them. And when you stand before the Bema seat, here's what could have been. But then I love you anyway. Don't think heaven is just all, hey, 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 hey. Heaven is a reality check. It's real. It's a reality check. Number five, because in heaven, Chronos and Kairos are final, it is time for urgency. In other words, many people try to change God's plan for their life. You're wasting your time. God, I don't want to do what you want me to do. Well, guess what? Too bad. Too bad. You can go do what you want to do, but you're never going to be fulfilled. It's like you have this car, it's a Mercedes, and it was made to drive, you know, a high-performance car, made to drive luxury, and you're trying to make it into a car who pulls U-Haul trucks. You can do that, but you're going to ruin the car. What God has gifted you with, and the lot in life God has given you, what I mean by that is when I say lot in life, he gives you options, right? In other words, I'm never going to be a singer. I should never be a secretary or administrator sitting behind a desk. That's not what I'm supposed to do. He's called me to preach, cast vision, lead, blow, and he may have had options, but I'm going to do that in that area. That's what he's getting me to do. So whatever areas God's giving you to do, if you're not in that area, you're not going to be fulfilled. Never to the degree he created you to be. You're wasting your time. But when you get in the sweet spot that God has called you to do, things speed up. There's a man named Ken Blanchard. He wrote The 1 Minute Manager, sold 8 billion copies. Y'all ever hear of Ken Blanchard? Okay, he's 60-something years old. He's been there, done that. He's written many books, and done many great things with his life. And I sat with him for 3 hours the other day. Now, I could sit with him for 3 hours and get googobs of information that would take me decades to learn. So he says, bada this, bada boom, bada bing, bada boom, think about this, boom, boom. And I'm like, taking notes, great. I just saved myself years of trial and error. God accelerates your life. And sometimes all you need is one little piece of advice. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will tell you directly, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. And you do it and boom. Because your time is compressed. Because God already knows. Let me read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. Say quickly. I'm going to be here soon. How many of y'all feels like your life has just flew by? Amen. I meet kids who are in their 20s, getting ready to be 30, and they think they're old. How many of y'all under 30 think you're old? It's a joke. You still have your diapers on. You're still a baby. Surprise, your mother lets you out the house to come to church. It's a good thing. I can't remember. How many of y'all can't remember being 30? I mean, you kind of knew you had a 30 birthday, but really what happened out of a year, you'd have to look in a book, a calendar. What did I do that year? It was like gone. I mean, the main thing I remember about being 40 is starting to rock, but I can't remember a whole lot. I know it was at San Diego State, but it goes by. You'll be dead before you know it. You'll be dead. And you'll be standing before God, seeing stuff you've never seen, hearing stuff you've never heard, feeling stuff you've never felt it. And God's going to be standing in front of you, and you're going to be like, this is it. And he's going to be like, yeah, it's it. I wasn't ready. Oh, yeah, you were done. Matter of fact, you were done a long time ago because I knew you'd never get around to it, so that's why I took you. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he walked with God. He was a godly man. And then the Bible says he was not because God took him. He's walking with God, praising the Lord, doing what he's doing, and God says, you know what, Enoch, come on up here. Whoop, he's gone. First rapture in the Bible. You could be doing your thing. And by the way, if someone's godly and they're doing what God calls them to do, they never die too soon. Devil can't take them. Jesus was 33. He only had a three-year ministry. He was 33 years old when he died. He didn't die too soon, even though that's very young. He did what? What did he say? I'm finished. I don't need to be here any longer. I'd rather go to heaven. So he went to heaven. I mean, not because he'd rather go, but he finished what he finished doing what he had to do. Your life is about the progression of your existence to fulfill what God calls you to do, and he's given you resources to do it. Are you doing that? We're going to look at time. Next week, we'll look at talents. We'll look at treasure. All of y'all have talents and treasure and money and opportunities and intelligence that he didn't give it to you for you. He gave it to you for himself. So he's entrusting you to give it back to him. And I don't mean when I say give it back to him, to manage it so you can maximize what he wants to do through your life. From his perspective on heaven, he's going, no, you might be thinking you have this much potential. God says, no, you have this much potential. I'm looking at it right now. You have this much potential. You're a lot more smart than you think. You have a lot more talent than you think. But if you have to surrender it to me in order for you to see it and experience it. Before I got saved, the chargers used to ask me to go speak. I mean, at little kids stuff, elementary schools. I was like, I'm not a speaker. I'm not talking to anybody. I can't talk in public. Is that ridiculous? Do you know there's some things you don't think you could do that's ridiculous for you to think that? Because God has appointed you to do it? And by the way, you may stutter, but you're still going to be really effective. You may be dyslexic, but God's going to call you to write books. He'll confound the wise with the foolish. Okay? Let me read this to you. Revelation chapter 22, verse 13, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. God is going to give you a reward according to your work, according to your words, according to your faithfulness. You're going to disqualify yourself from rewards from your lack of work or your gossip or your sin. Every time you talk about somebody behind their back unfaithfully, just imagine yourself losing something. It just breaks God's heart. He goes, oh. Don't do it. Keep your mouth shut or walk away and get a reward. Or say, you know what, we shouldn't be saying that. By the way, you get a reward because with your rewards in heaven, you worship God with them. Oh, look what I got. Oh, no, it's for God. It ain't about you. It never was about you. Revelation 22, verse 20. He who testifies of these things says, Jesus, surely, I'm coming quickly. Let's start today. See how many Kairos moments you can create today. See how many times you can bless somebody today, encourage somebody today. Do something faithful to God today. Use your time wisely today. Go home and pray. You ever think about praying in the middle of the day? You ever think about reading your Bible other than in this room? And other than at your small group, or you ever think about I'm just going to do something obedient right now. Create Kairos moments. And when you go to bed tonight, make that a Kairos moment. Enjoy going to bed and enjoy your sleep. And by the way, I have a theory. This is another opinion. Don't mean anything. But during the day is when you're alive. When you sleep is when you die. And when you dream is when you go to heaven. Or when you have a nightmare, you're going to hell. Okay, so you have your daytime, your nighttime. God is every day reminding you of life and death in heaven. Every day. Enjoy it. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your death. I can't wait to die. I can't wait. I look forward to it. And I hope I have time to reflect on my life right before I die. More so reflect on where I'm going. It's going to be a good thing. Blessed are the death of his saints in the eyes of the Lord. And I really look forward to heaven, where everything we know is suspended. In other words, when you have a dream, you can fly, you can jump off buildings, you can float in the air, you do all the stuff you can't do, and God's just giving you a little hint of what it's going to be like. This is just my opinion, don't mean anything, but this is what I believe. You don't have to take it because it's just me. But I'm going to tell you, it's a trip to think that God has something for you that's way out there, and he wants to inject it, that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that he give glimpses through people of what it's like in heaven, so people go, I want that. That's you and me. If we're faithful to use our time, our talent, and our treasure faithfully, there's no telling what God can do. Amen? Lord, thank you so much for time, opportunity, progression. Thank you for Kairos moments. I pray we will create them today. We can create them for other people. We can bless other people. Call them up and tell them how much we appreciate them. Call them up and apologize. Call them up and just say you were thinking of them. Give people a gift. We can do so many things to make Kairos moments for others and ourselves. And I pray we would look at every second as an opportunity to do that. And Lord, that we look at every second as an opportunity to be obedient to you and to honor and glorify you, that people may see heaven on earth through us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you and enjoy your football game.